welcome to The Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. I'm Mass, and I'm here today with Steve. Say hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
And Dean.
Hello, Dean.
And Chris.
And Chris.
And Chris. And not Matt. Not Matt today. No Matt.
No Matt.
Sorry about that, but we are completely Mattless, but we are almost the entire team, and we are ready to rock and roll and record a wonderful episode about finishing some games.
Yeah.
So guys, some of us here finish a lot of games because when we pick up games, we kind of like to finish them, but others, not so much. What do you say,
Chris?
Some
of us don't even start them.
Ah, exactly. Nah, of course, I'm alluding to the fact that Chris and I on the Playthrough podcast always play the entire way through the games that we play, but those are a different kind, a different breed of games, aren't they?
Yep.
Because they're not hard to finish. They're made to be finished. But the games we're going to be picking up today, well, some of them at least, are really, really hard. But as we did when we played, what did we play? Rick Dangerous and other games when we played, we made that episode called The End.
Batman,
Mega
yes.
Man I played, yeah.
I can't remember what game I've done on that.
You remember if you finished it?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I am awful when it comes to finishing games.
Yeah,
I get to see the first two or three levels if I'm lucky. So,
well, that's why we're doing this. So this time it's not called The End, it's called Finish 'Em.
Finish 'Em.
Yes, and of course, we're not going to be talking about actually finishing the games on this episode. We will just be introducing the games so that you, our dear listeners, will be playing along, we hope, and trying to finish some of these old games with us. But before we dive into all of that, Steve, what have you been up to?
I have been doing music stuff, as usual, working on a new single for the band. Should be out soonish.
What's the name of the band, Steve?
The name of the band is The Last Arcade.
Is your album going to be out anyway? Less of all this single malarkey. Where's
the
album?
It's going to be the fourth
single,
isn't it?
Your fans want the album?
So I think the album will be out in the summer, is my guess. Yeah, so we keep putting songs that are meant to go on the album, and as we produce them, we go, we should put this out as a single. So we've got like at least two singles to go, and the album might drop with the second single to go, but there's now a third in contention, so we'll see how we feel. But all being well, the summer, the whole album will be out no matter what.
And what about any live performances? Are millions of fans going to get to see the band live?
Oh, my three fans are... probably should be. I'm talking about you three,
Rod, Jane, and Freddie.
Rod, Jane, and Freddie.
So Bungle, Zippy, and George.
That's it. So the plan is that once the album's out, we'll do some kind of launch gig for the album, like a launch party for the album, and like you know, we'll probably hire somewhere in town and do a gig to launch it, and then we'll look at playing and then touring the album at some point. I think that's the next step.
Crazy.
That's the idea. We'll see what happens when we get there. But once we need to get the album finished first and happy with it. But the response so far has been really good. Every time we put something out, people are really liking it. And even when we put little snippets out, people are buzzing off that as well. So it's going good. That's what I've been doing music wise. And I've been to view my new office at Sony.
That looks wicked.
I sent you all videos.
It does look very nice. Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Flash. Very flash.
Very posh.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a surprise, to be honest, because their office we're in at the minute is a bit of a shit bin. So they've been telling us they've been working on this building for a few years and they spent a fortune on it. And we were supposed to move in last year and then there was like rain and floods and stuff here. And there was all water damage. Like our office leaked through the air conditioning system into the office. So it's been getting dried out and fixed. But we got to go and view it last week. And it was class. It's gobsmacking, to be honest. It's like Google or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Does look good.
It was really cool. So really happy about that.
Really
and
nice.
I'm going to a party there this week. Even though we haven't moved in yet, we've got a launch party for Horizon, the new Horizon.
Yeah, that's out next Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
So we're having simultaneous launch parties for it in the London Sony office and the Liverpool Sony office, which I'm going to on Thursday. So that should be fun. I get to see the office again. And that's about it, really. I'm playing some of these games and getting warmed up for the Finish 'Em episode.
I need you to be shipping me a PS5 very soon, mate, because I need that new Horizon game. So this is the time I need a PS5.
No one needs a PS5, man. You've got a mister.
No one can get a bloody PS5.
No,
no one
can get a mister. I've been trying for months.
No one can get a mister either.
No one can get a mister.
And the new Horizon game isn't PS5 exclusive either.
Nah, I'll probably end up buying it for the
PS4. Is it
PS4.
Not? No.
Yeah.
Is it on Xbox as well?
No, it's PS4.
That's PS4 as well.
Oh, sorry. So it's PlayStation.
Yeah, no, it's Sony exclusive, of course. But yeah, it's PS4 and PS5.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, so of course, Chris and I, we will be playing the old Horizon game, which is 3-4 years old soon.
Still a good game.
Yeah, yeah, it looks brilliant. Yeah, me too. So, Dean, what have you been up to?
Pretending to know what you two are on about with this Horizon game.
Behave yourself.
I'm an old git. Well, what have I been up to? It's my birthday, so I've been celebrating 47 years on this planet. I treated myself to a Neo Geo Pocket Color with a new screen in it, which is very nice. And I had to get the multi-carp for that, which was another 90 quid. So, that's very, very nice. Been posting some stuff on that on Twitter and what have you.
Is it backlit?
Yeah, it's an IPS screen. Looks amazing. If you ever look on our Twitter.
It does look good.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Was the original screen backlit, Dean? The original Neo Geo Pocket Color screen?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, what a pain.
No, it was like the Game Boy Color. You know, you had to get it in the right light.
The original Game Boy Advance as well, wasn't it? Wasn't backlit.
Oh, yeah, that was
cool
as well.
Yeah, so, you know, these IPS screens, they're pretty amazing. And just like even the black and white games on it really look sharp and really, really nice. I'm really impressed with it, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those systems, I remember them being on sale. I think it was in Virgin they used to stock them back in the late 90s and 2000s.
HMV. And
HMV?
I used to see them in HMV as well.
Yeah. It was definitely that kind of store had them. And I remember looking at them and I thought, I've got my Game Boy. Would I really play it? Because it's a lot of the fighting games and RPGs. And I've got to admit, you know, now I've picked it up, a lot of the games probably ain't really for me. But there's still some decent titles on there. So, yeah.
So is there a portable version of New Turf Masters, for example?
Yeah.
Well, that should be good on the go.
Yeah, it's an impressive piece of kit, especially with this screen. So
there's a great Metal Slug game on there as well.
Yeah, there's two of them. The second one's the better one, I think, out of the two. Yeah. And it's got speech and everything, which you don't tend to get the Game Boy doing as much.
No.
You know, so it's quite impressive. The other thing I've done was yesterday I hooked up with Paul Higgins, who's one of our listeners. And there's a pinball place that's opened up just down the road from where I live. It's called the Pinball Office in Sawbridgeworth. It's only open on Saturday mornings, 10:30 to 2:30. You pay a tenner, and that gives you 4 hours in there. I think it's about 36 machines. So if you're into your pinball, which I'm not a big pinball player, but, you know, in some of the pubs I used to go to, you'd have a pinball machine, and I enjoy a quick game, and I'm rubbish at them.
Yeah.
So, when you're paying a tenner and they're on free play, you've got plenty of practice. You know, you can have a good go of a few games and try and get to know the layout of the board.
Yeah.
And I took my boy with me, and Paul took his son, who's the same age as my son. And we had a great time. It flew by the 4 hours that we was there. And the guy who runs it, Chris, he's a really nice fella. It's really different because it's a really nice, clean place. It doesn't get smelly. You know, I think they have about 20 people in there at the same time, like for those 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, it's really, really decent. So if you're into pinball at all and you're in the southeast, check that out. The Pinball Office is called.
Nice.
So, Dean, if you're rubbish at the pinball, you know how you can adjust the difficulty of a pinball table?
Lift it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I grew up far out in the countryside, and a lot of these guys that I would go to the arcades or the chip shops with that had a few pinball tables, they would actually be walking around in these wooden clocks, And if you just lifted it up and put one clock under each side in the front, it would, went into easy Andy mode instead. So that was wonderful.
I like that.
I don't think that'd go down too well here, but
probably not. So, Chris, what have you been up to?
So, I have been most recently messing around with my new MSX2, which very cool to have a MSX2. This is for the community playthrough primarily on our Discord group. There's a group of us who are trying to play through basically every game I've made in order. Not quite every game, but
almost.
Of the series that we're tackling, Metal Gear is one of them, and that's our next game, is the original Metal Gear on the MSX.
Can you tell us again all of the series that you're going through?
So we're alternating between The Legend of Zelda, Metroid, Metal Gear, Final Fantasy, and Castlevania.
Just the easy ones then?
Just the easy ones.
Just the short ones, just a quick 10-minute blast.
So we've already completed Legend of Zelda, or those who are playing along with, and I know Mads has been playing it today.
Yep.
And Metroid, most recently finished Metroid as well, which I didn't enjoy at all. Legend of Zelda holds up, in my opinion, really well. That's an amazing game still, even today. But the original Metroid, not so much. An exercise in frustration, that game. But the great thing about the MSX2 is the original is Metal Gear. So I've got that up and running. That's all fine. Got a really nice flash cart from a bloke in Spain who sells new MSX games on original cards. But he also sells this flash cart with some additional RAM as well, which is nice. You need the additional RAM for some of the more modern games that have been made for the MSX2. But the cool thing about Metal Gear is that the only way to save it is by hooking up a data set and record it, and you save your game to tape. So when I read that, I thought, there's just no way I'm going to be able to do this. And when am I going to get a data set that is compatible with my MSX? And then I thought, I've got a data set with the MSX1 that I've never actually even turned on since I bought it 2 years ago.
So I thought, the data set or the machine?
Huh?
The data set or the machine? You've never turned
neither,
the machine
both.
On.
So okay. I thought, I'll get that out. So I got that out, yes, and it works. And I bought a cable, exactly the same connector, managed to connect that up to the MSX2. Found an old crappy copy of I think it was a Specky game. Sorry, Dean. That, yeah.
Oh, Chris, how could you?
I know that I could.
What
record,
is wrong with you, boy?
That I could record over, and gave it a whirl last week. Absolutely fine, first time, no worries. Save my game, and then it verifies it, plays this horrendous noise, and then your game is saved to tape.
See what I mean about these youngsters, Steve?
Exactly.
Terrible. Terrible.
But I thought this old data set, which looks absolutely crusty, I didn't think in a million years it would work. And lo and behold, it does. So I've now got a nice setup to play. All right, it's the European version of Metal Gear, which is inferior in a lot of ways. But, you know, hey, I can't. The PAL MSX2, the MSX2 wasn't region locked, but there's something in the Metal Gear ROM which means that the Japanese version didn't come out in North America, but the Japanese version won't play on a European machine. Metal Gear 2 is fine, but it's just Metal Gear 1. So I'm stuck with the half-baked European version, which has 50% of the dialogue cut out. But it means that I've now got an original hardware setup to play it, so I'm well chuffed with that. Looking forward to getting stuck into that next week.
Yeah, and you have the added benefit with the whole loading and saving from tape with the horrible screeching noises that... It'll give you the warm and fussies, but it'll keep the kids away from the gaming room.
Yeah, but it's not really the warm and fussy, because, you know, if you give me a Specky loading sound, or even a C64 loading sound, and I'm in a world of heaven then. I love that. But this noise was not nice, even someone like me. My wife was like, Jesus Christ, what's that noise? Just ignore what's going on in here. It's all good. It's all fine.
I'm watching porn.
Yeah,
just watching.
So come in. It's less embarrassing.
So yeah, looking forward to that. And I've been just this weekend been playing on my VIC-20 because I'm guesting on a Caelan Rince episode next month on Jeff Minter. So I've been going back over some of the old Jeff Minter games, and spending way too long playing Grid Runner when I should be looking at some of his other stuff.
You guys going through his entire catalog or just some of the old stuff?
I don't really know what the plan is, to be honest. I mean, it's just an episode because it's his, I think he's got a big birthday.
Could be.
I don't know what age, he might be 65, I don't know. Sorry, Jeff, if you're listening and you're not 65. he has got a big birthday, so Kane and Rins are doing an episode on his life and times. So I'm just dusting off the old knowledge of the Minter games. Ridrunner holds up so well.
Maybe he turns 47 again, like Dean.
Like Dean, yeah, plus VAT.
Again and again and again.
yeah.
So
what have you been up to, Mads?
I've been up to, as you already said, playing Zelda. That's a wonderful game. I've never played it really before. Tried to get into it maybe a handful of times and just didn't really click with it. But you told me that this really holds up and it's a great game that you should try if you do enjoy your Zelda games. So I stuck with it, and it only took me like 15 minutes to fall completely in love with this.
Yeah.
So I've been spending most of today playing Zelda on my Switch, actually, not on real hardware because I'm at the cottage today. But it's a brilliant game. So yeah. Just playing some old NES classics and wishing that that kind of game would have been available on my C64 back in the day as well. That would have been wonderful. But we didn't have anything like that, did we?
No, it's a work of art. I think it's brilliant.
Definitely. Great game. And it introduces so many of the staples of the Zelda series are already here. Many of the items and weapons and the kind of puzzles that you need to solve to get through the dungeons, for example, they're already here in the first game. So I'm realizing only now that Zelda is one game that's just been remade 10 times.
Yeah, quite right.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Steve? It's good.
Sorry, what? I tuned out.
Come on, hobbitses. Follow Smeagol, good Smeagol. Games. Oh, he loves his games. But he hates his retro games. No, we don't. He loves his retro games. No, he hates it. He hates us the pixel count. No, he loves the pixel count. Smeagol loves pixels. No!
So
I'm back now. Sorry, what are you on about?
Let's get back into the episode instead then. So
welcome to
this episode is all about finishing some games. So we'll be presenting some games. Each of us will select one or two, or in some mad schemes like Steve's, he'll select three games, I think, because he's a master of gaming. So we'll select some games that we'll try to play all the way through, and we hope that you listeners will want to pick them up and try to finish them as well.
Mads. Before that, have we got any news we want to mention?
Sorry.
Let's cover a little bit of news before we dive in.
I have a feeling Steve has some news.
Well, no, just we saw this week, didn't we, that the Amico seems to have died on its backside.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because we've been discussing it in our chat. So thoughts? Anyone's thoughts?
I think it's a shame. I know it's probably an unpopular view, but some of what Tommy said during our interview that he'd done with Chris, I like the sound of, but I think unfortunately it's just been on the cards for a long time, hasn't it? They're in debt, they're not earning any money, and doing all these funding campaigns to try and keep things afloat doesn't bode well, so I can't see it ever happening, unfortunately.
No,
it's not. I mean, it's not died a death yet. It's important to say.
It hasn't. Yeah. But
The danger sign for me has been for this past year that there hasn't been a continuous stream of videos coming out of new great games that they were making ready for launch. What we've seen have been these few games that are remakes of originals from back in the day that kind of look a bit naff, don't they? I mean.
I think,
as Matt said a few times, it looks like Flash games.
Yeah, they do. I've always said right along through all this is that I think, personally, I would have preferred it using pixel art rather than these mobile-looking games.
Yeah.
Like, old mobile phone games, how they look, really. Mm.
Yeah, my biggest concern with it has always been, where's the market? I think I even asked Tommy, who buys this thing? you know, and I think his view was, well, it's for people who want to play games with their children, but you can do that on the PlayStation, you can do that on the Xbox or the Switch.
Yeah,
that's not unique. So
no,
where's the market?
I sort of said that in the chat. It's like, it's didn't to me have no unique selling point. You know, it's every the thing that he was harping on about, or not harping about, the thing he was talking about when you spoke to him, Chris, was this like sit down and play together again, you know, a couple of years in front of the TV, two controllers, blah, blah, blah. And that every console does that. They all do it. So that's nothing new, you know what I mean? And then every console that's out there seems to be of a higher spec than what Amico is bringing to the table. And then it had this mad controller, which to me looked awful. Whether it was good to play with in the hand, it looked horrendous. Like the spinny weird disc and a screen for your, it just looked wrong. I'd have to play it. I can't say that, you know, 100% that it was terrible. It just looked it. And then once again, like you said, the games look like flash games. So
I'd love to actually try that controller, because one of the things that Tommy said was that they wanted to market this to people who weren't gamers. I mean, they wanted your grandpa and grand.
Let's confuse them even more.
Right? Yeah, exactly. No, but they wanted to make it so easy and so easily available that even non-gamers would just pick it up and play with their kids. So I'd like to see what they were thinking there with that controller, because you need some really good design. I mean, Nintendo did it with the Wiimote.
Yes.
That's when we got the grandparents actually playing Wii Sports and all sorts there.
So another selling point for me was, you know, Tommy kept going on about the price of the game was going to be really low, the hardware was going to be fairly cheap. Because, you know, one thing that puts me off, one, I can't get a PlayStation 5 for love nor money. Only on Facebook you can seem to pick them up.
Yeah, but, about 800 quid.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the games, okay, they go down within a few weeks of being released, but, you know, I can't afford £50, £60, £70 for a game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there are games being released for that price at the moment, and Tommy was saying, you know, game's going to be, I don't know, 20, 25 quid, whatever it was. And, you know, as time's gone on, the price of the hardware has gone up. It seems like the price of the games has gone up. It's just not that it's, you know, it's missed its release date a few times now, so I don't know. I think it's when he was talking about it back then, it sounded good, it sounded okay to me as a parent. You know, there was things I liked what he said, but as time's gone on, I think it's dragged its heels too much. They've missed the boat.
The only thing I would say is that they did raise some venture capital money. And and the people who invest in this stuff tend not to be stupid. And I know Tommy, you know, as we heard when I spoke with him, he's a very charismatic guy. And he could sell ice to Eskimos, I'm sure. But you know, these people tend to know what they're about. You know, it's not just the likes of us who are passionate early adopters. It's people who are putting their money where it matters. They appear to have spent all of that now. And now they're looking for more. So they're obviously not going back to the venture capital market, because I imagine that door is very much closed. It does start to feel, you know, we're almost 18 months now after the original 10/10/2020 release date. They've started selling games. They started selling games before Christmas. So you can buy Amico games.
Really?
It appears, though, that it's looking less and less likely that we're ever going to see the hardware. And in fact, they admitted so this week, didn't they? They said they admitted there's no guarantee it will ever actually come to market. It's a big shame for all those that pre-ordered, you know, and anyone who pre-ordered off the back of our episode. I'm sure there were some. I was close, thankfully didn't do it. You know, I know it was $100 deposit, wasn't it? I think
that's it.
No one wants to lose $100.
No.
So I feel sorry for all of them.
As I sort of said in our chat, that market that you've just been talking about there, what Dean's been mentioning, cheap games, cheap hardware. That's now been covered by the Evercade versus for me.
It's like the Evercade's slightly different though, isn't it? Because it's mainly older games.
Yeah. True.
So it's it's different.
No, you say that. You're right. No, hang on.
I mean, there are games. Yeah, there is
some indie stuff on it as well.
The only one of the carts is indie, yeah, and that's very good.
So far.
Yeah.
Is that Mega Tech part, right?
So most of the games that were coming out for the Amico was like
they look about 20 years old, don't they?
No, but they were what's the name, weren't they? Moon Patrol and just Earthworm updates. Jim. Yeah, they were updates of all games as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think the scope is there for the Evercade Versus because they have had indie carts already. So
yeah, and it sold very well. When I spoke with the Evercade guys, they said it's one of their most popular carts. So there's definitely a market for that kind of
stuff.
Well,
this is the thing, you know, this is what I've said about the Evercade. Although that's not really for me, you can't knock the price point.
No, it's getting, great. Yeah.
It's getting these games into people's hands, you know. Yeah. You might not necessarily go down a real hardware route and, you know, the Mr. route. The price point is great. You can't knock them for that.
Yeah.
And they've actually got an Intellivision car as well. So you can get your Intellivision fix.
Salt into the wound.
Yeah, you can play Shark on your Evercade.
Yeah.
But I think with them, they've identified the market. You know what I mean? They did it first with the handheld, but they identified that like people are interested in the collections, they're interested in the nice cartridges, the books that go with them, the instructions. So they've identified that, and then they've pushed that further into the Versus console for underneath the TV. And I think they've done their homework really well, and are now reaping the rewards of that, which is what I didn't see with Amico.
I can tell you now that a million people are not going to pay £300 for an Amico, even if they're given the opportunity to do so.
No. Well, I think it's going to go the way of the Atari, unfortunately. Yeah, although that did come out, I think.
That did reach the shops in the States, at least.
Does anybody, have you ever seen a picture of one in the wild, the VCS?
I've seen them on YouTube being like reviewed.
Yeah, being reviewed and what have you. It's just, it's
stupid piece of crap.
It's a PC, isn't it, really? An underpowered PC and a console.
For £400.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. But you can play and stream on it.
Well, great. Watch.
True.
Atari have actually got stakes in it.
That's right, yeah,
there,
they did,
All very interesting. Buy some stakes in Moby Games, or actually buy Moby Games as well.
I think they own Moby
Games.
Bought
Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to ruin Ocean.
So I always use Moby Games for research because they've got a huge database these days. And I was actually kind of annoyed that AntStream is now a new platform there. So whenever I look up a game, it'll say, this was released on the C64 in 83 and on AntStream in 2021. Give me a break.
Talking about
it's just emulation. It's not a new platform.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is one that probably Chris will know more about than anyone in this chat. Talking about people putting money into stuff. Star Citizen, the game.
Oh yeah.
So I know people who worked at Sony a few years ago and left to go and work on Star Citizen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And still are working on Star Citizen. Mm. How the hell are people not burning that building down with pitchforks? Like, they've had millions upon millions of pounds and never released a single thing.
What's the name of the guy, Mads? The guy who did Wing Commander 3?
Oh, I forget right now.
What's his name? The guy who did... Oh, God. Yeah. It's only a year ago we covered it in the Game Club. We spoke about Star Citizen quite a bit on that episode, didn't we?
But they've got, like, so much money. They've had like nearly £100 million or something stupid. Yeah, they've got like Mark Hamill's coming back to do voice acting and acting for it. There's like loads of famous people going to be in it.
There are playable builds, right? Though, isn't it? I mean, it's had kind of alphas and whatnot. Not alphas, it's had betas and what.
Has it?
I'm sure it has.
There's something you can play.
I think so. I could be completely wrong. I've never played it. I'm sure Mad said on the Wing Commander episode that game has raised more Kickstarter money or more crowdfunding money than any other video game in history.
Yeah, it has. It has. And apart from that, they have been selling ships in the game before the game even exists for thousands of dollars. I mean, players, single players, one player at a time have paid like thousands of dollars for bespoke ship designs.
It seems to be vaporware.
It does. It's Chris Roberts, by the way. Chris Roberts, that's the design, isn't it? It's crazy. It blows my mind that people are still behind that project. In any way,
people left my work to go and work there.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Oh, we've got a great job now." No. I mean, they haven't got a new office, so. but anyway,
as you say, Steve, from somebody who wants to go and work for them, she said they've got so much money. I mean, they're obviously burning through that money, but they can clearly afford to go and employ a load of people on a product which, as a finished product, hasn't sold one copy. That's because it's never been released.
It's not just that. It's been years.
Yep. 10 years?
10 years. 10
so
years.
So the crowdfunding began in 2012. So, yeah, so 10 years ago.
10 years. Yeah. 10 and years surpassed... without putting a freaking game out.
Yeah, they've surpassed what? $400 million now. Dollars.
That's $400 million.
$400 million without putting anything out? How is that possible? Why aren't the police there?
I think they maybe didn't they put something
we
out?
We put out three podcasts a month and we only get about 80 quid a month.
We're close to 400 million.
But they did release something, didn't they, Chris? Like a first-person shooter that's set in the same universe or something like that. Squadron 42 or...
Has that actually been released?
I'm sure it was, but...
It's very, very strange.
Does it not seem like a scam?
Well, for a brand
like, there's
new...
a scam going on. Like, there's a scam. So they've got £400 million over 10 years and haven't released anything. That's a scam. That's a scam.
How does it... I always find it interesting how these things just capture people. Like, this is just a brand new IP, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. It's like... I mean, Chris Roberts is obviously quite a famous person
scam artist.
In video games. And if you're into the old Wing Commander games, you know, it's a name...
Privateer.
Unless you mean you forget that you'd recognise, but really, has he got that kind of pulling power to raise 400 million quid? Crumbs.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand why people who back that Kickstarter are not furious.
No.
I don't get it. If I put any money, like 10 years ago, you know, you'd be like, where is it?
They must be getting playable builds, Steve. They must be, mustn't they? They must be playing stuff.
Don't understand. What are they waiting for? What is going on? 10 years. 10 years.
Yep. No. And as far as I can see, even that Squadron 42 game isn't released yet. So.
Okay. It's another one that they're working on.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Crazy.
Don't get it. Don't get it. That is mad. That's completely mad.
Should we design a game, stick it on Kickstarter and see how it does?
Yeah. Let's see if we can get 400
This
million.
May never come out, everyone, but look, it's going to be really good. Steve Erickson's doing the music. Dean Swain's doing the graphics.
Yeah.
Mads is doing the voices, and I'm doing cheerleading.
We're looking for 400
Who's
million
Who's going to program it?
No one. It'll never be programmed. Don't worry about that.
Don't need any programming.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
All the games I've worked on, they never come out.
Matt can do the box art, and there you go. Let's get it up on Kickstarter.
That's it. We're looking for £400 million.
I mean, my graphics even turn up in games I had nothing to do with.
Oh, yeah. Impressive. Anyway, so that was some news, wasn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of news in-house. We have a new website.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so thank you to Martin Stevenson.
Yes.
We've got retroasylum.com has had a fresh lick of paint. So
facelift.
Yes, if you haven't checked it out, please do take a look.
Have a read about the team. Have a read about the team on the webpage. Have a read about all the people in the team.
Yeah, which we haven't updated yet.
We need to do our bios, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's older than the Star Citizen campaign.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So
don't go to the about pages, but do check it out on your mobile phone, for example, because that actually works now.
That's really good. It does, although the logo's in the middle, which has upset Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Is your favourite episode on there, Dean? You know,
no.
The one I really like to wind you up about?
Yeah. No, this,
what's that?
It's Lost, wasn't it?
Episode 88, was it?
Yeah, we need to find the audio for that.
And set fire to it.
Shame.
Anyway, yeah. Take control.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Any more news, guys?
Nothing I can think of.
No one can get a mister. There you go.
Oh, news. Yes.
Where's the Specky next? There's more news.
Specky next version 2. Yeah. Well, FPGA stuff seems to be a long way off, doesn't it? All of it. But yeah. Shame about the Spectrum Next 2. If they had just released the first version again,
it'd be out. Well out.
It would be out and everyone would be happy. But,
is this now taking longer than the first Kickstarter?
Yeah, I think so.
That's not
good.
Could be.
No. Well, they've been spending so much time actually redesigning the thing that they now run into the problem that everybody else has with sourcing the actual chips. So it's going to take a lot longer, I think.
Yeah. And with the D10 Nano, people who ordered it a month or so ago are now being told July time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least everybody who matters has a Mister, right, Chris?
Mister Resister over here. Come
on. Yes, exactly. Mister Resister. The Mister Resister.
Misters are for the Mister Men, not the boys.
Yeah. I might have to load up Metal Gear Solid later. See how good it is on the MSX2 that I haven't got.
Probably easy to make a save, Dean. Probably easy.
Yeah.
There was quite a big chat on our Discord about how Misters weren't for them last week. I'm surprised you boys didn't jump in and start saying, "Look, you can't say that in the Church of the Mister. That is blasphemous."
Who said that?
Who's saying that?
There was a few people saying it. Mm. Was it Roushey?
Yeah, but it's all people who haven't tried them.
Oh, yeah, I've got one.
I don't know.
Roushey's got two.
There's a growing consensus that it's not very good.
Nah, he's just pulling your chain, man.
Everyone's saying it's no good, this mister, after all.
Obviously, I haven't used it.
It was all a lie.
Yeah, we've got shares in mister.co.uk. Yes. Mr. FPGA.
No, seriously, what's not to love about the Mister? I mean, it looks like an awesome piece of kit. And I'm sure, like as Mads has said, it is by all means...
Well, look, there's my original empty shell, because mine was in a dodgy 3D printed case.
It's molted. It's molted. You know, like a snake sheds its skin.
It has.
it's become a new one.
Over here somewhere, if you can... See there?
Is it in a metal case?
This is the new case. No. It's the plastic one that Nat sent me. That same as yours, I think.
Same as mine. Yeah. They're nice. They're very nice. You see the lights through it.
Yeah.
It does. It's the future, isn't it? You know, when, as Mads has said, you know, recently switched on the Super Famicom and it wouldn't work. And you know, as we've been saying since this show began, there will become a time when all of our hardware that we've got amongst us now, none of it will work. And when it doesn't, we need a way to be able to keep these games alive. And emulation's one way. And maybe for those who want something which is...
more authentic.
A bit more authentic, you're going to have the Mister and successors to the Mister. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's a brilliant thing. I'm sure one day I will love it as well. Right now, though, I'm just still
smuggling in
original
hardware.
Yeah, and that's what I enjoy.
Chris, to be fair to you, you are further behind in this kind of hardware journey than we are. We've had arcade machines, we've had the hardware, we've emulated, we've come back, we've gone around that circle. You're still enjoying that process. You're still enjoying having an arcade machine, playing on the original. So there's no judgment. I'm only taking the mickey out of you, but there's no judgment here. You'll get to that stage at some point.
I'm sure,
and you'll find this is amazing. But you still got, you know, when we had the hardware ourselves and we were fascinated with it, we thoroughly enjoyed it. So, you know, and at that point, that's when we were saying emulation's not for us. Do you know what I mean? So it's similar.
Do you know, as good as the Mister is, I still can't get rid of my original hardware. It's all sitting in tubs under our desks. One of our listeners, Mickey, who lives up near Southend, this weekend he just got rid of most of his hardware since he got his Mister, sold it off. I'm not sure if I'm brave enough to do that.
I haven't sold anything, and I sell everything.
Yeah. That's because you'd already sold it.
I haven't. I've still got, like, the setup's still there. I've got the Master System, I've got the Amiga, I've got the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
It's all still there.
But have you used any of them since you got your Mister, Steve?
No. And, like, I got that NES Zapper the other day, didn't I? With the snack add-on for the Mister. And that's that is so cool. With a CRT, light gun game, boss. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Wonderful. Actually, me and Dean are going to do an episode, aren't we, on light gun games?
We are, yes. That is coming.
That'd be great.
Totally forgot about it, but yeah.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. Me too. Till right now.
If they get the Saturn core running, and then what's it called, the Punisher, the light gun for the Saturn, that'd be great. We've got some great light gun games there.
Cool, very cool.
Oh, and the PlayStation one as well. Then the G-Con 45 was a brilliant light gun as well.
I'm sure. Yeah. I might be wrong here. Dean will probably know better than me. I saw someone trying out a light gun that will work on all.
Yeah, the GunCon 2.
Is that what it was?
I believe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a way of doing it, but the way they've got it working at the moment, you can't use SCART.
Okay.
It needs to use composite, so I don't know if I want to downgrade my picture to use a light gun.
No. No. Me either.
No.
Yeah, I like RGB.
The picture's beautiful. The picture is beautiful.
Yeah.
Mr. RGB.
Yeah. I'm an RGB snob.
Yep. That's just only because that's the only thing that the Speccy can do that the C64 actually can. So.
Well, it can on the Mister, so we'll let it off.
True.
Do we need to thank our patrons before we talk about the episode?
Yeah, let's do that.
We do. Thank you, patrons. Are we going to read them out?
Go on, then, Dean.
So, Steve and Dean are going to sing them out and do it right now.
Okay. Where's the list? No, no. Hang on a sec. Hang on. Fill the air. Someone talk. Someone. Where is it? Patrons. There we go.
Patrons.
Okay. Go on. Let's go.
Nick Linders.
Howard Price.
Matthew Turner.
S-I-E-C.
Adam Hind.
Chris, version one.
James Dunn.
Hans Crombean.
Nope, I've lost it. Hang on. Stop scrolling.
Classy. Go on.
Classy. Right. Yeah. Roush MSX. Roushy.
Guto Threadbare.
Chris Atwill.
Paul Bullard.
Harvey Watson.
Martin Jones.
Ninja Pixels. No, what's that?
God, this is brilliant. Ninja... You never fail to disappoint Dean.
You should be doing this, I think, Chris. Ninjixel, sorry.
Tim TJ Hooker. Sorry, TJ Walker.
I mean, do you know, when I typed these out, I did put TJ Hooker.
Andy Hudson. I have this mental picture of those two old puppets from The Muppet Show sitting up on the balcony, just reading these things out right now.
Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah.
Rubbish. Ricardo Engel.
Adrian Nelson.
Heavy Metal Don.
James Bentley.
Tony Parkinson.
Gaz H.
Mal Woods.
Red Crested Breagle.
There's no question mark on the end.
Well, it should be.
Kane and Rince.
Lampton Worm.
Salvio Calabrese.
Mitsu Yama, whatever.
Reese Wynn.
My Stalker, Clint Humphrey.
Mark Byland.
Paul Ashton.
Chris Rowe.
John Shepherd.
Laurent Giroud.
Some dodgy bloke called Deadlock who messes up websites.
Aaron Morpin.
Jim Orbitz IT.
John Veal.
Thomas Scoffham.
Andy Marsh.
Patrick Firth.
Lawrence.
Andrew Gilmore.
Stephen Stuttart.
Matt Sullivan.
Magnus Esbjorn.
Darren Coles.
Gary Heather.
Edward Fitzpatrick.
Nick Lees.
And Blake Brett.
And
anyone else we've butchered?
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. Yes. Was there any ladies in there? I think it was all gentlemen.
No, we haven't got... What's happening to our female listenership? Because there's some. There's got to be.
She left after episode 88.
Yeah, even that was debatable. Right.
Right, Mads, so, go on, lead us in. Let's get on with this.
I will. I reckon they did well, didn't they, Chris?
No.
I think it was
a mess.
It wasn't as funny as it has been in the past, but it still had your fair share of humour.
True. So I will try once again, to lead into this episode. So this is the episode called Finish 'Em, and we will be selecting some games that each host will try to finish. We won't be playing each other's games, necessarily at least. We will be playing our own games, the ones that we select, and we hope that you listeners will want to play along with us on Discord, of course. And without further ado, Steve, tell us, which games have you chosen to actually finish before we record the next episode?
And why?
And why?
And why? So my choices are, so initially it was going to be one game, and then I thought, I'll get bored, so I'll mix it up. I'll mix it up and I'll choose a few games. So, and if I complete them, great. If I don't, I'll try my best.
So Steve is presenting the ADHD version of Finish 'em. That's it.
No, none of this try me best malarkey. It's called Finish 'em. That means...
And I'm going to try and finish them. That's
no,
the plan.
Not
do it.
Try.
Yeah.
Try. It's not called try to finish 'em. It's called Finish 'em.
We'll see what happens. Anyway, so my choices are, right, so I'm going with Xenon 2 on the Amiga.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing a bit of it. It's a great. Well, that's the problem, you see. That's why I picked some more. So I played a bit of Xenon 2, and I was like, this is crap. It's not as good as
you
I remember.
You only just realised that.
I've always liked it. I've always had a soft spot for it. Now I just want to get to the end.
Whilst Retro Asylum's been running over the years, I keep saying to everyone, it's style over substance. Substance. And the first game's a lot better.
Yes. Well, I think that it probably could be, you could level that a bit of almost all Bitmap Brothers games, a lot.
Yeah, apart from Xenon 1, which is a quality game.
Mm.
And Chaos Engine.
Speedball 2, decent. Anyway, ish.
Ice cream.
It's a bit sluggish when you go back to it. But anyway, let's jump back onto Xenon 2. So yeah. I've always loved it, but when you come back and have a go of it, and I'll get more into this when we finish them, it's a bit floaty and a bit poor controls and a bit slow and sluggish. Anyway, first choice is Xenon 2 because I loved it when I was a kid. I've always liked the Bitmap Brothers and I want to see just if it's got any depth beyond the first level because even as a kid, I think I managed to get halfway through level 2 ever. So I want to see what is beyond that. So that's why I've chosen that. Second choice, Stunt Car Racer on the Amiga.
Good game.
Great game. But I always remember like getting beyond the first round, the first set of tracks to the next ones, it was proper hard. Like the tracks become mental, like the roller coaster and all that. So I'd like to come back and have another crack at that.
So what is the finish state for Stunt Car Racer?
Well, I need to get to the end. So I need to go in the competition mode and do all four rounds.
Get into the Super League and...
Yes, get to the Super League would be saying I've clocked it. I'm not going to try and clock the Super League unless I'm doing
it. That would be some reason.
Unless
but if I can get to the Super League, then I think I've done it.
I want to win on all tracks because he can do that in his sleep, I think.
Yeah, but I found on the Mr. R version of it, it's WHD load, and if you go into it, it's got a turbo mode that makes it run fast. And it's amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. And he came back and he said it was crap.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
And he's wrong. No, he is. He is. Because what he's done is he's put it on his LCD telly. And he can probably see the juttery frames on his LCD telly. Whereas where on the CRT, it's just going twice as fast.
Yeah.
And it's great. So,
to be fair, he does know his Stunt Car Racer.
He does, but he will not play games on a CRT, will he?
He doesn't know his telly.
Matt, if you're listening, just make a bit more room. I know it takes up more room. It's a CRT. That's the whole point.
Worth it.
Play it on a CRT. That's how they
make it. Make a bit more effort, Wilshire. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Do it properly. So I'm not having that. I'm not having that it's not better, because it is. It's well better. It's twice as fast. You get around a lap in like 30 seconds. It's boss.
It's really quick. Good. Steve's already completed it without playing it.
I've done it, and I've sold it.
In the blink of an eye.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's my second choice. I've always wanted to actually do well on that game and try and get through all the tracks. So that's my second choice. And third choice is one because I wanted to play it in Arcade Club with Dean, and they didn't have it. It was Green Beret on the arcade.
Yeah. It's the one Konami game missing, I think.
It was missing, and I love that game. But I've never, ever done very well in it. And apparently, it's really hard.
It is rock hard.
But it doesn't seem it when you're playing it.
Oh, it does. It does when I play it.
Really? Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. I always think
when
like,
I play it too.
Really?
Yeah, I struggle to get off the first level.
I can just breeze through the first level. But it's like when I'm, even on the second level, it's because I'm not paying attention. I just need to focus a bit more. But it's such fun to play. Also,
so
one of the best.
For a 1cc there? Or...
I don't know. I'll see how I get on.
Yeah,
I'm going to put unlimited credits in. No, I don't know. We'll see how I get on, but I'll explain once. If I get to the end, I'll tell you how I did it at the
It's getting a new Amiga version, isn't it, Green Beret? Have you seen that on Indie Retro News recently?
He's been playing it, I think, haven't you?
Yes.
Didn't you have
I've downloaded it. I haven't played it yet. Is it out? I think, didn't I put it in the chat?
I think it's a beta version still.
Oh, yeah. It's using that new engine, isn't it? There's an engine on the Amiga that people are making games with at the minute. It's an AGA. What the hell is it called? There's loads of stuff coming out on the Amiga at the minute, and people are using an engine to do it, and it's like it's utilising the AGA really well.
Does it play well?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. It looks good on the video I've seen. Yeah. Mm. So also brilliant C64 conversion. Absolutely.
So is the Spectrum version, by the way.
Yeah. The C64 game is terrible. Isn't the C64 port terrible?
No, the Amstrad. The Amstrad.
Yeah, the Amstrad version is awful.
Unbelievably bad. It's flick screen.
Right.
It's not even flick screen. It's one where you walk to the end and it judders across. Stops. Everything stops.
Stop motion.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yes. Yeah. So that's me. That's me. They're my three choices. So if people want to play along and explain to me how they finished them when I didn't, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, so Senen 2 and...
Senen 2, Stunt Car Racer, and Green Beret Arcade.
And Green Beret. So you're going to start out with Senen 2, I guess, and then jump to the others. Yes. Okay, okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Dean, what are your game?
I'm going to go for The Great Escape by Denton Designs. It's published by Ocean back in 1986. You're a prisoner of war, pretty much like the film. It kind of follows the plot of the film, although it's not an official movie conversion.
Hmm.
Great game, isometric, but it scrolls. At least it does on the Spectrum. The C64 one judders. So does the Amstrad version, come to think of it. But yeah, good game. Very atmospheric. I've played it a couple of times recently. It could do with some more sound effects or some music. You know, it's very quiet, the game. You just get an alarm going. At different points of your day, you know, you get woken up, you've got to go for roll call, breakfast, exercise in the yard, and basically you've got to collect different things and work your way out. You know, you get keys to get into certain rooms, you've got to try and dig a tunnel to escape. It turns to night time, and then you get the searchlight going over the yard while you're running around, and you know, there's dogs after you and the German guards. Very atmospheric. I always used to play this game on a Sunday afternoon after I'd watched The Great Escape on the TV.
Yeah.
It got you into the mood. Or, you know, back in the late 80s at least, they used to show these films in the UK. You know, you'd have an old war film on a Sunday afternoon. It always got me into that right frame of mind for playing it. And I never did finish it. So for me, this is a game that I've always enjoyed, but I've never been able to do it. So that's why I'm going back to this. And looking through at a playthrough on YouTube, it can be done in about 30 minutes if you know what you're doing and if you don't get caught by the guards, because you've got morale. It's like on this flag that goes up and down a post, you know, and the lower your morale goes, you have to spend time in the prison, and if it goes down too far, it's game over.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's an interesting game. It's worth checking out.
So how far would you say you got back in the day?
I thought I got fairly close. You know, I played this for a good couple of hours at a time, because it's not a game that's got a save option in it. I guess if I played it on an emulator, I could do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think I got quite close to the end. I certainly was finding all different bits and pieces you use to escape. So I'm quietly confident, if I get time to play it, that is.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah.
Interesting choice. I've never played that before. It's got a great Bob Wakeling cover, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, just look really good. It's a good choice, that Dean. I'll definitely be having a go with that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if you ever played, there was a follow-up.
Land Before Time? Is it something like that? Something Before Time?
Where Time Stood Still, so that's, I think, the one, it's called. Yeah. Which is very similar.
Yeah.
But that's got dinosaurs roaming around. And that, I found that a lot harder to play, but that at least had in-game music, which kept it moving along.
Isn't Land Before Time that old Don Bluth cartoon.
Yeah, it was the film.
What's the when did it come out, Dean? The Great Escape?
1986.
Okay, so it's for that time, amazing.
Yeah, well, 86 and 87 were like golden years for the Spectrum, you know. Yeah, I think some of the best games come out at that time, and that's certainly one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Yeah, great choice. Great choice. Mm. So, Chris, what's your choice then?
So, I've already played one because we first talked about this episode quite a while back, and I chose at the time Zillion on the Sega Master System. Mm. But I've already finished that one, so
you cheated, mate.
Show off.
I am going to choose. I'm going to choose another one. So, I mean, Zillion is a great game, by the way. I mean, I chose it because I got a Sega Master System, a Master Everdrive for Christmas. So, wanted an excuse to give that a go. Not got masses of experience with the Master System at all. Mate of mine, Lee Lappin. Hello, Lee. If you're listening to this, mate of mine, Lee Lappin, had one when we back in the day, and I used to play a little bit on that. But yeah, never had one, never spent that much time with it. But I was so impressed with Zillion. So I got the idea from, I read an article, I think it was on Hardcore Gaming 101 about Zillion, just a random article. And it sounded really good, and it has the essence of a run and gun, but really the heart of an adventure, in that you have to go through a maze, breaking open bins, finding codes to input into a computer, which then opens the door in the room. And you do that sort of 80 times, working your way through a maze to get to the center core, which you then type in a special code into the central computer and then escape. It sounds quite boring. It's far from it. It's there's kind of Metroidvania vibes to it in how it's gated. It's blooming really difficult. And on the original Master System version, you couldn't save, which was a complete and total nightmare. So anyone playing this back in the day would have had to have just hammered it and hammered it and hammered it to the point where they could get through it in a re. I mean, it would have taken months and months and months. Mm-hmm. I think from start to finish, even if you know your way through the maze, it's really 2 to 3 hours still. And that's when you know the maze really well. So you're talking 100 hours, I reckon, of having to just soldier away at this. It's not that good. Luckily, the Everdrives have save states, so I enabled the save states, and I only used the save states as a means of just saving where I was up to. Mm. So basically like putting the system into sleep mode, and then I just carry on from where I was. So I didn't feel like I was cheating too much. And I really enjoyed it. That's a great game. If people haven't tried it and like adventure games or action games with a little bit more, just a little bit more kind of thoughtfulness to them, Zillion is definitely one for you.
Can you remember what year that came out, Chris? Because I played one of those games on my mate's Master System when he first got hold of it, but I can't remember if it's the first or second game.
Well, it's 87, so the second one came out in 88. Now, the sequel is much more common.
Mm.
So if you go on eBay and you try to buy Zillion, the original goes for way over £100.
Because I remember at the time thinking, although it doesn't really play like it, it's a bit like Impossible Mission.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, where you're entering the codes on the computers to.
Yes, it has. Like, it has more in common with Impossible Mission than it does with Metroid.
Yeah.
It's very, the way the guy kind of goes into the computers and breaks open the things. Yeah. Shares a lot of similarities with that. So it probably was that one, Dean. And if he's still got that cart, it's worth a pretty penny now.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not seen him since 1991.
Well, you probably wouldn't appreciate you asking him, would you? Similar with
my mate. We weren't that close.
Similar with my mate Lee Lappin. So that was Zillion, and I really enjoyed that. And that was going to be my game, but once I started, I couldn't really stop. So I played that. So I am going to choose Final Fight, the Capcom arcade game. Importantly, not one of the crappy home ports. The actual arcade version of Final Fight.
Now, okay.
So the reason I'm choosing this is because, as you guys know, and as I've said many times, I don't have a huge amount of nostalgia for arcade games. I've said it many times, I'm a little bit young.
I think you're going to get bored.
Well, let's see. I was going to say before, I'm a little bit younger than you boys, as you well know.
He likes to say that.
I like to say that every single episode. Mm. And the arcade, the kind of golden age of the arcades, passed me by a little bit. I lived in inner city Liverpool. We did go to kind of Wales and the coast and everything, but I don't really remember playing that many arcade games, despite being obsessed with the Speccy and the Amiga and whatever other games I could get my hands on. Final Fight was in our local chippy. And every time I went in there, I'd always stand behind the bigger boys who would always be playing it. And it was the one game I remember. I remember thinking it was this and Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, that they had them side by side. And they were always the games I used to think, my Amiga couldn't do that. I wish I could get that game on the Amiga. And then when I did get it on the Amiga, it was absolutely terrible. but that was, they were the games when I thought, I wish I could play those games. They look amazing. Final Fight has always held that little bit of mystery for me because it's a game I have genuine arcade nostalgia for. And I still think now the sprite art in that is really good. I think
it was really an impressive looking game. But I just think after the third level, it just, for me, it got boring.
Do you reckon?
But then again, so many scrolling beat 'em ups do. Yeah, I don't think there's... See, I think some games go on too long. A lot of the scrolling beat 'em ups, they need to be about 20 minutes maximum.
Yeah, because it's, get past you get that,
yeah, because it's repetitive gameplay.
Yeah.
That's why Golden Axe, Double Dragon, they're, you know, those games, you can bet 20 minutes. Turtles and, you know, a lot of the Koinami beat 'em ups, they just go on and on and on. And it's just coin guzzlers, and it just takes the fun out of them.
I'd love to say I'll 1cc Final Fight, but I won't. Because one thing I do remember is it's so difficult, especially once it gets into sort of the middle levels. I'm gonna have a crack, see how far I can get, and then
don't use the special move all the time because where you press both buttons, it depletes your energy. Yeah.
So I'll probably just stick a million credits in there and just bash away at it until I get to the end. But I am going to have a good go at seeing just
that's
how
cheating.
Far I can.
I want you to do it on one credit.
Well, it's not going to happen, is it? I'm not going to get to the end on one.
If anybody can do it, you can do it, Chris.
Yeah.
Two lives.
That's not a challenge. One life.
I'll tell you what.
Sorry, one credit.
I'll tell you what I'll do. When I come back, I'll tell you how far I could get on one credit, and then I'll tell you what happens at the end.
So famously, Chris thinks that credits are lives. So
I finished it.
You didn't one credit it though.
I've done it in one life.
No, you fear yourself.
I didn't even lose any energy. I'm that good.
It's better than Double Dragon, I think.
No, it ain't. It looks better than Double Dragon. It's a newer game, but I don't think it plays better.
Well, we can have a chat about that, can't we, next time?
But loads of people will be typing in there. Dean doesn't know what he's talking about. So we'll
it's see. Not as complex as Double Dragon because you've only got one
not.
Attack button, haven't you, with Final Fight? One button to jump and then...
Jump, yeah, and then press both buttons for the special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it's a classic game, but I think you'll get bored.
Okay, there we go. We'll see. Final Fight it is. Get on the cab.
So then you can play the Spectrum version.
Yeah, which actually isn't... It's not the worst, I seem to remember.
It's not great.
No. Looks nice until it moves.
Until it moves. Even then, it don't look that nice. Sorry, Mads, what was you going
to
say?
What's your game, Mads?
So my game, actually, we're sticking to the 80s. I see we've got Senen 2 from 89. We've got you just had Final Fight from 89
That's
as well.
89,
the Great Escape is from 86. So I'm going even further back in time because I'm looking back to...
Mads is real retro.
Yes, the real retro. I'm going back to 8-bit, of course, as Dean. This is a game I played so much when I was a kid. I think it's only got 8, 10 levels. Not sure right now, actually. And I've never gotten further than the fourth, I think. It's Jumpman Jr. by Randy Glover. An old Epics game. It's, of course, the sequel to Jumpman, if you know that. A single-screen platformer. You need to jump around and pick up these little clover-like figures. And whenever you pick up one of the clovers, something will happen to the stage itself, the screen itself. The level will mutate. So it's a kind of like a puzzle game, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, you like to say that everything's a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a platform puzzler because you have your little jump man. The only thing he can do is climb stairs, jump, climb ropes. Some ropes you can only climb upwards. Some ropes you can only shimmy down. And you need to pick up all of these clovers. And when you pick up the last one, it's all done, onto the next level. And you've got moving ladders you need to jump onto. You've got these kind of projectiles that will be flying either horizontally or vertically. And whenever they align with you on the axis that they're not actually following right now, they'll just, it'll say, and it'll go right at you. So you need to move out of its way. And that's it, really. It's a puzzle platformer with devilishly good level design, but it's also really, really tough. When you get to the fourth or fifth stage, it becomes almost impossible to figure out in which order you're supposed to pick up stuff and to do it quick enough and avoid the many projectiles that are after you and so on and so forth. But I'm sure with a bit of perseverance, I'll be able to get through it this time. I've played this. I picked this up. This is one of the games I pick up at least once or twice a year on my C64. It was released 83 on the C64 and the Atari 8-bits. Don't know which one was the main platform, really.
I think it was C64.
Could be. Yeah. But it's a brilliant, brilliant puzzle platformer for the C64 from way back when that I've been trying to get through for many, many years. And now I want to finish it. So I'm going to stick to this one. And I really want to finish this one before we record. Yeah. And if it turns out that it's not that hard, I doubt it. But if it does, there's another game that I've been plugging away at for forever, and that's Hero. Again, I prefer the C64 version. So if I get all the way through Jumpman Jr., I will pick up Hero as well and see how far I get
there. How far can you get in Hero, Mads? Can you remember?
Quite far, Dean. How many levels
now, are I there? Love the game. I don't know. This is the thing. I used to be able to get up to about level 10, I think. And I think it's probably about 100 levels. I was
100? Whoa, okay.
I might be wrong. I don't know.
So I wanted to say something along the line of level 20-something. That's how far I could get back in the day. But if there's 100, I'll never get through it.
I'm probably wrong. I'm probably way off on that. Let me just try and have a look quickly.
Platform was the original Jumpman on, Mads?
Oh, it's 20 stages, so I was halfway through.
Okay. So I must have been really close then. Yeah. So Jumpman, the original Jumpman was on the Atari 8-bit and C64 as well, if I recall correctly.
It's definitely another one I'm going to give a go. I think this looks right up my street, this. Mm. I've never played it.
Yeah, Jumpman is a great game. You need to try it. Jumpman Jr. is the slightly better version, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So it's a brilliant little game. It's got these nice little ditty tunes, and it's just a joy to play. It's a quintessential C64 game for me.
Yeah, one of the first Epic games, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been. And Randy Glover is actually only known for doing Jumpman, Jumpman Jr., and the Summer Games series.
And he left. So I was just reading. I think I sent you the link to the Jimmy Marr blog post on this a couple of weeks ago. I'm just kind of up to this era now in the Jimmy Marr. I think Randy Glover left during the work on Summer Games, didn't he? Fell out with them and left. So he only worked on half of it. So he's, I don't know what happened to him. I think he left the industry, didn't he?
Yeah, could be. But he did do Summer Games 1 and 2, so he must have left during the Summer Games 2.
Oh, maybe it was the sequel then, or maybe it was one of the other fellas anyway. There was a bit of a hoo-ha.
Yeah. No, but it's a game I've been trying to get through for so long, so I'm really looking forward to actually getting into this. And if I'm thinking this is more than its skill, it's memorization. So if I actually get to memorize all of the levels, I will try to stream it on our YouTube or Twitch channel at some point from my C64, so I can show the listeners that I've actually learned how to do this.
Nice.
But let's see.
Good choice.
Cool. Nice. Yeah.
So what do we got? I have Jumpman Jr., and if I get through that, it'll be on to Hero as well. Steve?
I have Xenon 2, Stunt Car Racer, and Green Beret.
Yep, and Chris?
I've got Final Fight.
Yes, and Dean?
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. So I think what we actually should do is just announce all of these games over on the Discord forum as well, all of the listeners will know which games we will be playing, and maybe even we could just temporarily make a new forum for it over there on Discord for the discussions.
It's a good idea. Like a plan. Yeah. People play along with us.
Yeah.
Let's do
it's
that.
Like a playthrough.
It is like a playthrough.
Not like a playthrough.
Maybe we should make a new podcast about this.
Yeah, could do.
You could be onto something there.
Call it Play It Through.
Mm.
Play It Through.
You can just you come along and play some game with us, Steve.
You could come and guest on Playthrough, Steve. You'd love that.
I play some PlayStation games now.
Get Matt on. Matt's been up for something like this.
We've just spent 40 hours playing The Last of Us 2 and another 10 hours talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
right up God. My street. Right up my street. Count me in. I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, but that was brilliant, though. That was brilliant. Some of the best storytelling I've ever seen in a game. It rivals and even surpasses that of film, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're nice. Not convincing Steve, Mats.
No. I played it for 20 minutes in work and didn't like it.
Yeah, okay. He's a lost cause, Chris, isn't he?
He's gone. Yeah, forget about him. You completed Final Fantasy VII, though, you know.
Mm, I did on the PS1, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. 200 years ago, yeah, that's true.
200 hours long.
Yeah, that's true as well.
You actually completed that, Steve.
I did. For real. Yeah,
I fell for all the hype of that game, and I got it, and I just couldn't get into it.
Oh, we're gonna fall out here, Dean. I tell you,
it's RPGs. They're boring.
You put your Double Dragon they up. I'll put boring. Up a Final Fantasy, and we'll have it right out.
Look, in all these games, all they do is chat to each other, and that and that and that and that. And that. Just get on with it.
So mind yourself, mate, or behave yourself, or I'll post some pictures of that ZX Spectrum sound chip enhancer I found.
Oh, yeah. The graphics enhancer.
Oh yeah, that was a good one as well.
But back in the day, I used to complete games. Like when I was into games, like as they were out. I was still into modern games, like really into it. I did. I'd try and clock all sorts. You know what I mean, so I did complete Final Fantasy VII.
See, that's the thing. Modern games. I'm looking up and I think one of the last games I probably completed was Shenmue.
The Dreamcast.
Which was the year 2000 or was it 1999? It's like 20 odd years ago.
It's more recent than Final Fantasy VII.
Is
well,
it?
What else? Yeah. Completed other stuff. Tomb Raider completed. I completed Ico.
Oh, that
PS2. Was a game.
That's an amazing game.
Yeah. Amazing game, Ico on the PS2. That's probably the best game on the PS2 for me.
Yeah,
so there was a few. I proper clocked it when I was into it. But then there just come a point where I was just like, I can't be bothered anymore. I think from PS3, sort of that was the end for me. That was a cliff. It's just like I can't be bothered with this. Yeah.
Nah. Well, fair enough. Anyway. At least you'll get to play some retro games here then.
Yeah, yes. I completed two games on the PS3. Now remember, I completed Journey and I completed Flower.
Ooh.
And they were great.
Both good games.
Yeah. Yeah,
brilliant.
Both really
same
good
developer.
Games.
Amazing. Yep. Anyway, sorry, we've gone off tangent.
Journey is actually one of the most beautiful games I've ever played.
Stunning. Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
Story.
I had my eyes
well.
Filling up, man, as it went to the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
It was
amazing.
Tough walking up that hill at the end.
Yeah.
Mm.
Brilliant. Anyway.
So enough about all of this modern gaming. I think this was it for now. You guys, you have any shout outs you'd like to do?
I'll say hello to Paul Higgins, who I was with yesterday. We had a nice time down at the Pinball office. So yeah, thanks to Paul.
I'll say hello to Jim and Andy over on Playthrough. And guys, you don't know this yet. Mads does, but Dean and Steve, you don't. So Jim and Andy and me, we're going to go to EGX in Birmingham on the 5th of March. But they cancelled it. The sods.
They
cancelled it.
Thanks for the invite, though, Chris. It's really
but
nice
hang
here.
On a minute.
Sorry,
hang on. So instead, I think we're going to go to Arcade Club. It's not. I haven't booked anywhere yet, but
it's too far. I think can't I'm be going bothered. To. Don't want to know.
So 5th of March, we are. I think we're going to go. Well, yeah, we are going to go to Arcade Club. I just need to get myself sorted. But we are going to go. So yeah, if anybody wants to take a trip, or if anyone's planning a trip. The three of us and Steve or Dean and both or both.
Can't rely on you to turn up.
No, well hopefully I won't have COVID, although my daughter's just had COVID for the second time. Thankfully I managed to come out unscathed out of that. But yeah, no, fingers crossed, everything else permitting, we'll be at Arcade Club for the Friday, I think Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th. But I'm gonna stay over one night. I think they're doing one night as well. I'm gonna come home on the Saturday.
Right.
So yeah.
I might pop over if I get a chance.
One thing I do want to mention, just quickly, is Extra Life, which is a cancer fundraiser being held at Arcade Club, and this is the 28th of April. This has all come to light over Craig, who, you know, sadly come. He's got cancer, so they're holding an event there. 24 hours of epic old school video gaming.
Nice.
So if you've got some time off at that time and you can get out to Arcade Club, that'd be a good. It's the 28th to the 29th of April. Mm. Unfortunately, I can't make it, but I thought I'd just give it a mention.
Yeah. Well, yeah, shout out to Craig. I think,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing great. I mean, that, for what he's dealing with at the minute, he's really like, he's doing really well, like vocally, and the stuff he's putting on Facebook's great. So I hope he's doing well, and I hope it's all going well. And I'll give a quick shout out to Zap to the Past podcast, because they keep shouting out us out on theirs.
Oh, do they? Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I haven't listened for a while.
Yeah, no. They're good. They're going from strength to strength. They're quite funny, those two guys. They've like really got into their stride now. And they're talking about Zap Magazine and C64 games, so what's not to like?
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
And a shout out to Matt.
Shout out to Matt, of course.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Matt, please teach Steve how to actually play Stunt Car Racer.
Yeah.
And apart from that, shout out to Carl from the Video Game Newsroom Time Machine, who I will be hosting with tomorrow, actually. Be recording another episode of his show. So,
Steve, have you been invited on to any other podcasts recently?
No, mate, nothing.
No, me neither. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah. It's because Chris and I, we're front office material, you know.
Oh, you're front office material, right. Gotcha.
Me and
you're
Dean
getting
not...
all this, Steve.
Yeah.
They get invited onto shows. They organise little events themselves.
Yeah. Steve's a rock star. He hasn't got time for all that.
That's true.
I've got time for you guys. And we're not customer-facing, Dean.
I'm feeding left out here, I am.
Where was the invite to Pinball Heaven or whatever it was called? Eh? I only live an hour away now. Mm. Come on. Yes.
Well, you know, it's
cat got your tongue.
Only,
it?
So this is turning into the Grumpy Old Men podcast right now.
I hope you've enjoyed the final ever episode of Retro Cyberpunk. Yes. It really is the end.
It is the end. Let's finish them, these guys.
Finish them.
So with those words, have fun, guys, and I hope you enjoy your games.
Thanks, Matt.
Bye.
See ya.
See you soon.
See you later. Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures, in the